Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to you. It's a great privilege. I call my talk A Few Words on African Cities, simply because there's so much to say, and given the time that we have, I'm just going to cherry-pick a few key issues. The picture you have there is a picture of Cape Town. I know many people here have probably been on holiday at Cape Town, and they think, wow, what a beautiful city. But on the other side of the mountain is where the people live. And they make up more than 60% of the city of Cape Town. And whereas the one side have swimming pools and wonderful views of the sea, the other live in conditions of informality. So one of the key things we have to say up front is when you're talking about African cities, you're talking about inequality. You're talking about unequal access to the city. You're talking about a debate between the global city, the aspiration towards the global city of the elites, and the inclusive city, a place where the urban poor can find work and survive. Just quickly about the Cities Alliance, the organization I've been working for the last 15 years. It was founded by Nelson Mandela in 1999 at a conference in Berlin. And it's essentially a global partnership of organizations, not of cities, of organizations that support cities, such as United Nations, such as the World Bank, such as GIZ, BMZ. We have some 35 members that are multilaterals, bilaterals, southern governments, northern governments, NGOs, etc. And we come together around the mission about the role of cities in poverty alleviation and sustainable development. That's the central mission of it. Now here are, why did that jump to the other one? There we go. I don't know if you can see the numbers there, but I'm just going to focus on a few of them. African cities are going to grow by 315 million people over the next 15 years. A previous speaker spoke about Tokyo. Tokyo is 22 million people, the world's biggest city. It has been developed over hundreds of years. We have to build 15 Tokyos in Africa in 15 years. Just think about that. Just the magnitude of the challenge of dealing with urbanization at that level. We also have to understand that Africa is soon to be the largest, African youth will be the largest labor force in the world. So the fastest rate of urbanization ever experienced in humanity. This is the fastest. It's happening faster than anywhere else. Cities that used to be 100,000 people and 10 years later are 200,000 people. And so it goes, and so it goes on. But this urbanization is essentially taking place under conditions of informality. And when we talk about informality, we're talking about two types of informality. Firstly, people are living in informal settlements. More than 60% of Africa's urban population live in informal settlements, and that number is growing dramatically because the old colonial cities were the concrete core city, and generally cities are quite small still. They're growing, but they're still quite small, which means the percent living in the concrete city is relatively high, but it's going to get less and less as urbanization takes place. But arguably the worst informality is that given that government is the biggest employer in Africa in many ways, given that the extractive industries go up and down, when they're up, numbers are a bit different, when it's down like they were recently, then 90% of jobs to be found are to be found in the informal economy. 90%. So the continent with the fastest growing youth population has their youth working in an informal economy. And an informal economy mystifies what it really is. It's a survival economy. And just think about that. Just think what it means around citizenship. Think what it means about the social fabric. Think what it means to be a young person living under these conditions. Then on top of that, we have climate change. On top of that, I am yet to go to a forum in Africa which is not dominated by international organizations where climate change is identified as a number one priority. It's hard not to go to a place to have a discussion where the key issue is jobs. Work is fundamental. And you must remember, no one comes to a city looking for a toilet. People come to the city looking for work. Now, for a long, long time, sorry, I must change the slides, I'm not used to that. So for a long, long time, Africa, even amongst its governments, was seen to be a rural place, where governments in a place, for example, like Uganda, where you have 400 deputies in parliament, only 30 represent urban constituencies. When it comes time to discuss the national budget, any money to an urban area would be considered to be, whoa, this is not where the real poverty is, this is not where the real challenge is. And where urban is perceived to be a failure of rural development rather than as a dynamic needed to drive the economy and to drive forward development. But Africa is, in point of fact, far more urban than people think. Far more urban. Even the international development agencies pulled out of investing in urban areas in Africa for decades and put all their focus into rural development. But there are as many cities of 1 million people or more in Africa as there are in Europe. Now, this is just a random city, Nampula in Mozambique. I'm sure people here who might have worked there or been to Nampula in northern Mozambique. It's a city of around 1 million people. But what it shows is you look at that, you'll see that it's in the time that it's grown, by far the majority of that growth is informal. It's informal. And if you look at Mozambique as a whole, in 2016, there was a national need in the secondary cities and in the primary cities for something like 80,000 sites for people to settle. And the formal planning system was able to provide 5,000. And that disjuncture between 5,000 formal and a need of 80,000, that ratio of 5,000 to 80,000 is more or less across Africa, the relationship between the formal and informal. Often people will say to me that one of the biggest problems in African cities is that they are not compact, and we have to strive to have a compact city. Well, in point of fact, this is not true at all. If you look at African cities first sprawl. And why do they sprawl? They sprawl because it makes rational sense. Who wants to live close to another household if you don't both have toilets, if you both don't have water supply? People understand the basics of public health, and therefore they tend to sprawl. But as services come in, they come back and they compact. So African cities go through a different trajectory to other cities, where they're less planned and they sprawl out, and then as planning comes in, they begin to draw back and become compact. Now, one of the messages I want to put across is this. The continent that is facing the biggest urbanization challenges in history, who are having to deal with cities on the absolute reverse. Most cities are planned on the understanding that you identify land, you consolidate the land, you plan the land, you service the land, then the land is settled at the end. In Africa, the land is settled first, and then you have to go back along that continuum. So the methodologies and approaches of planning schools in Europe or North America are simply not applicable. They don't work in the African context. Yet in Africa, there are 50 planning schools. 50 across the continent. There are 38 planning schools in the UK alone. And of those 50, this is one, Luleå University in Nampula, dealing with a city that's one of the fastest growing cities in the world. bearing in mind the city doubled in size in 12 years. This is their library. This is the place that's providing this, the planners of the future. And then we look at local government. How fit is local government to deal with this urbanization process? And what we discover when we look at cities across Africa, African cities on average have 28% of the qualified personnel that equivalent cities in other parts of the world have. So if I were to go to, for example, just hypothetically, to Paris or Amsterdam, or they say Amsterdam because of their donut theory, which is so attractive and fantastic, and I said to you, fire 75% of your skilled staff, can you still achieve the same objectives? So there is a major lack of capacity. But not just capacity. The incentives to keep people to work at local government as a profession are so low. You are better off being a driver for an international organization than you are to be the mayor or the chief executive officer of a city in many African countries. So running out of time, so very quickly, municipal finance, before I get on to other things. So you need staff and you need finance. There is hardly an African city that has a budget per capita of more than $50 per person. Equivalent cities in Europe will have $2,000 per person, more or less, or euro per person. Without capacity and without finance, it's very little you can do. Very little you can do. But, and this is where you have to have two ideas in your head at the same time, a huge amount is being done. But it's being done differently. It's being done through, I'm just going to have to skip some slides here, get to my key message, because it's been done through partnerships. The general idea that if I do not have a planner available to help me plan the informal settlements, I will partner with the informal settlements themselves and let the people do the planning of that settlement. In almost all African countries now, you'll find in every settlement a settlement development forum where the people themselves are saying, this is where we live, we need to develop this area. They have plans. In every city, you'll have a municipal development forum where people are saying, what are the partnerships we need to make something happen in our city? And governments have national urban forums where they're looking at national urban policies to create the enabling environment for partnerships between cities and citizens. And I just want to close on this one because I know I'm running out of time. That's why I say it's a few words. There's so much to say. But this is just some ideas about partnership is key. One of the speakers spoke about platforms. On the left, you'll see a group of people huddled around some paper. They are slum dwellers from Mbali City in Uganda. You know what they're doing? They are the pioneers of a platform called the Social Tenure Domain Model, developed in Uganda and perfected, which is now global and used all over the world for mapping. Even in the resurrection of Syria, it's being mapped out using the social tenure domain model. What it does is people who are just a space, you know, if you go to a place like Nairobi at one point, 75% of the population were missing from the map of Nairobi. Just didn't exist on the map. So what people, what slum dwellers are doing in each and every slum, using the social tenure domain model. The social means is they record every single family, they record the house that they live in, the quality of the house, and the tenure relationships that they have with the land. And they use that data to say to the local governments, we are citizens of your city, we all have an address, you can do business. They can go to telephones places and say, you can actually contract with us because this is my address. But that is done by the people themselves. But it has to be recognized by local government to have the power. Planning is no longer just something of technocrats. It's an open process, a process where people come together and they make their plans because they simply don't have the technocratic planners. And when they do have technocratic planners who fly in and develop plans, no one understands the plans. And these plans get shelved and are hardly ever used. And on the bottom there, we can just see in a place like Monrovia, national government officials, local government officials, and community officials going on site together to see what needs to be done, and then discussing. Not that government will do them for them, because the fundamental understanding here is communities on their own and government on their own cannot do it. It has to be a real partnership. And that partnership takes investment. You have to invest in both sides of the equation. I'm going to leave it at that. I could go on forever. I've been told my time's up. So I suppose my central I had a couple of other messages, but I suppose my central message here is there is a huge challenge of urbanization in Africa, but it's being managed differently, and things are happening. And while the African cities will be different to other cities, it will not be like the experience of Latin America. The experience of Latin America was essentially to let the urbanization experience flow, and government ignored the favelas. And whilst governments ignore those favelas, into that space came the drug lords and the criminality. But what is happening in Africa is we're not letting that space become a vacuum. Into that space is coming a partnership between local government and communities. And for that reason, I think there's going to be a whole lot more success in Africa than people believe. Thank you.